Fasten your seatbelt and turn up the radio. We're going on a road trip. One 100 years ago in 1914, the Rotary Club of Wausau was chartered, the fourth club formed in Wisconsin. 9 years after attorney Paul Harris formed the first Rotary Club in Chicago. By 1921, there were Rotary Clubs all over the world, and today, the organization has 1.2 million members, business and community leaders and professionals following the Rotary principle of service above self. On Route 51 today, we look at this service organization and how it's affecting communities across central Wisconsin. Later in the program, Rick Jansing of the Rotary Club of Stevens Point will talk about their work to find a cure for post-polio syndrome, a debilitating condition that affects polio survivors later in life. Brandon Bodendorfer of the Marshfield Noon Rotary Club will talk about Rotary Winter Wonderland, an exhibit that draws thousands of people every year to Marshfield's Wildwood Zoo in an effort to stock the shelves of 22 regional food pantries. But first, we're joined by Rotary Club of Wausau President Debbie Trader and Centennial Committee Chair Mike Beck, and by Wausau Parks Director Bill Duncanson to talk about that club's 100th anniversary celebration next week and a community project to restore Bluegill Bay Pond, a popular fishing spot in Rib Mountain that has become choked with algae, weeds, and pollution. I'm Glenn Moberg. If you're a Rotarian or your life has been touched by Rotary, you can join the conversation this morning on Route 51 at 1-800-780-9742. That's 1-800-780-9742. Or you can put a comment on the Route 51 Facebook page, and I will read it live on the air. Mike, Debbie, and Bill, thanks so much for being with us today.
Thank you, Glenn.
Good to be here.
And full disclosure for you, dear listeners, I have been a member of Rotary since 1983 when I joined the club in Elgin, Illinois. This is the first time that I've done a radio show on the topic. Debbie Trader, you're the president of the Rotary Club of Wausau. I'm, of course, a member of that club, but I'll let you tell our listeners about some of the things that we do.
Well, it's thanks for having us here today. I'm so excited about our 100th anniversary. Currently, our club is very involved in the community with so many things. I did a little survey with our members, and people that are in Rotary are usually involved in a number of other service organizations as well. We're very civic-minded. Some of the things that our club does, we do highway cleanup and we do bell ringing. Some of our smaller projects that we do that are fun and also help the community. But we're also doing a lot of great things as far as working with the Hunger Coalition and Boys and Girls Club, baseball and youth baseball.
Youth baseball. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. And also a lot of other youth organizations in the community.
That Hunger Coalition, we raised a lot of donations for food, 300 turkeys and an entire semi-truck load of potatoes delivered to the neighbor's place.
Last year, we raised enough money to bring in, like you said, over 300 turkeys. This year, we brought in a semi-load of 5-pound bags of potatoes that will be distributed among the food pantries. Up to current levels, I think we've raised over $12,000 in our Hunger Plus Coalition work.
And there's also a Rotary Club in the morning. We remember the club that meets at noon, but there's an Early Birds Club that spun off about 20 years ago.
Correct. The Early Birds Club meets on Thursday mornings at 7 a.m. at the Wausau Country Club. Randy Winter is their president this year.
Well, it was the Rotary Club of Wausau that was founded 100 years ago. That was just 9 years after the first club was founded by attorney Paul Harris. Rotary's changed quite a bit since then. We have an international organization now. There are more than 34,000 clubs worldwide, 1.2 million members around the world, largely professionals, business people, and community leaders, all working together on this motto, service above self. Talk about that a little bit, Mike Beck.
Well, I guess as we look at kind of what we do, I would say one of the top focuses that we have is youth and youth leadership, And we have a youth Rotar program that we invite students throughout the district and to be involved and rub elbows with business leaders and kind of help form some relationship there and some networking, as well as funding scholarships. How that service above self means sort of passing on that knowledge about the experience from professionals. It means helping, you know, give youths a leg up. It also means a variety of different, you know, service elements in terms of the Hunger Coalition in our centennial. It kind of has a heightened awareness.
And you know, from a more philosophical perspective, it means caring more about how your work helps the community than how it helps you personally.
Well, yeah, nicely said, and absolutely. We are very privileged in this community as a group. We have been given so much, and this is. The Rotary offers an opportunity for us really to give back and to put others as a priority, and I think that's really important.
Well, Mike, you're a busy man. You're the publisher of the Wausau Daily Herald, and you're also the head of the Rotary Centennial Committee. We've got a big party coming up on Monday.
Well, we have been working, and there's a group of folks that have given a lot of time, and these are folks who are very busy in their business lives, but they see this as an opportunity to really underscore what we can do and really illustrate that theme of service above self. So we have this is really kind of launch a year-long effort looking at trying to serve. And we're doing it with a theme that really the Rotary kind of flows through our community and it flows through the world. So we are launching a year that we think will kind of start the next 100 years, and one of the key elements of that is a community and a community service, and you've mentioned it, looking at Bluegill Bay Pond and helping restore that, probably Bill is better in a position to explain what restore it from what, but we're also looking at a public art project, two or three of those. And to, you know, this is an arts community. We love the arts. We care about it. We are fostering and acting as a catalyst for arts projects, as well. We are committed that it's Rotary International. We are committed to and have put money and organization behind efforts to provide water and organization and leadership into South Sudan. And those are kind of three big areas that we're working with.
Well, let's talk about those other two areas in just a second. But right now I want to turn to the effort to clean up Bluegill Bay Pond. And Bill is the parks director for not just the city of Wausau but Marathon County. You've got a pretty good handle on what happens to that pond every summer. Why don't you tell our listeners about that?
Now, Bluegill Bay County Park, a large regional park on the shore of Lake Wausau, was created in about 1970. There's a six-acre pond that actually has inflow and outflow, you know, to and from the lake. Since 1970, you've got aquatic vegetation in there that grows up annually, and then it dies and settles out. So we've accumulated essentially organic muck on the bottom, and it's reducing the fishability of the area. One of the primary uses is as a youth fishing opportunity.
And it's still a place where you can fish with a lot of success in the spring, but by midsummer, that all changes.
Well, the fish are still there, but it's tougher to get your hook to them because of the vegetation that grows, but also you get algae blooms, being a part of the Wisconsin River with the phosphorus loads that the river carries, that is food for algae. And fortunately, what we've been finding is that there's a good groundwater input component into the pond that actually reduces – the pond has less phosphorus than the main part of the lake. And through the project, one of the things we're going to try to achieve is actually increase the groundwater flow so the water in the pond will continue to be higher quality than in the lake and the river itself.
And How much is this going to cost? Do we have any idea at this point?
We don't know that yet. Through the offices of Rotary, Rotary has acquired a local grant that's allowed us to have a consultant do the initial study and put together a plan of attack, which actually is going to be finalized tomorrow and will be brought out at Monday's celebration of Rotary's, you know, beginning the 100th year.
Can you give us a sneak peek of any of that, or are we going to have to wait for Monday?
I think you're going to have to wait. The funding, I can't really give you a solid dollars and cents amount because the project can be expanded or contracted, you know, once you start working on it. And some of that's going to depend on what the testing shows of bottom sediments, some of which mm-hmm. have some contaminants in, and it's a permit process through the Department of Natural Resources. So we can't make promises until we get into the actual final design and testing phase.
There are heavy metals on the bottom of that pond in the muck. Isn't that correct?
There's a variety of contaminants, including some heavy metals. It's the same as the bottom in the entire Wisconsin River from the industrial past.
But it sounds like, you know, this is potentially a big project. I guess one of the solutions would be to increase the flow through the pond, but that would entail cutting new channels?
That's a potential option. However, I don't believe that's going to be the direction we're going. I think a limited dredging, deepening, to have more open water, you know, just better habitat for the fish. It's actually a very healthy fish nursery at this time.
Uh-huh.
Broad range of high-quality aquatic plants, reptiles, amphibians. So it's relatively healthy now from an environmental standpoint as far as biota in it. But it's not that fishable, and when that bloom happens, it's not very scenic.
And that clean water source that you mentioned, is that a spring-fed source that's nearby, what is that source of clean water?
It's groundwater.
It's groundwater, all right.
Groundwater, this portion of the Wisconsin River is a groundwater inflow area, which is typically what happens. But this particular area, because of the sands, the groundwater coming basically through the town of Rib Mountain feeds right into this pond. And there's some techniques whereby we believe we can actually harvest more groundwater and increase that flow into the pond.
Well, Bill, I want to thank you for substituting today for Brad Carger, the Marathon County Administrator, who's a member of the Noon Club, who was supposed to be part of this discussion. Brad ended up having a conflict, and he said Bill Duncanson knows more about this than anybody in Marathon County, so we really appreciate you being here.
I appreciate the opportunity.
Mike Beck, this is a big project. Rotary isn't doing it alone. You got some help from the Green Heck Foundation?
You bet, and really we kind of started in asking ourselves, you know, how, you know, is this a project we want to pursue? Can it be fixed, or, you know, can it be restored? What are the issues? Well, the Green Heck BNS or Green Heck Foundation really stepped up and underwrote this study to get us some solutions, figure out what can be done. And I think the good news out of this is that there are some steps that can be taken to kind of bring this, to make this a more fishable pond and help the community. And that's, I think, you know, very cool. And their support really would made it possible.
And that's the kind of thing that people will look back maybe over the next 100 years. And that's one way that this club is making its mark. Debbie, Bluegill Bay Pond, of course, a popular fishing spot with kids. It fits right in with Rotary's emphasis on programs to help young people.
Yes, and it's what's really neat is as we started this, we've had multiple organizations and other people, individuals come forward, people that live in that neighborhood, other organizations in the community, foundations that have also said, you know what, we're really interested in this. As soon as you have things, let us know. We want to get involved with it too. So we see this, our club, being a springboard for a community-wide project to help our youth, help families. This is such a beautiful park and a beautiful area that we want to encourage family or, you know, family involvement, family
right.
projects where families can be together do something basically free.
Well, the whole experience, especially if you're a young boy, of fishing as a kid with your grandfather or your father, it builds role models. It builds strong families.
Yeah, there's no question. It's part. Well, it's hey, this is part of Central Wisconsin life here, and we can help foster that. And the Bluegill Bay Park environment is just absolutely ideal for this.
Now, Bill Duncanson, how many people use that park every year? I'm putting you on the spot here. I don't know if you've got that figure or not, or even an estimate, but it's a pretty popular place.
It's an open public park, no admission fee, so we don't really have a count, but it's very heavily used.
And Rotary also supports not just projects to help young people, but this also fits in with it, supporting clean water and restoring our natural resources for future generations.
Definitely.
Water, you know, water is the lifeline here. It's why we're all here. And so this focus, I think, really makes sense for us. It also connects us to a global community, and Rotary is really all about that as well.
The Wausau Club involved in international work, preserving those natural resources and clean water. There's an effort underway right now to provide safe drinking water for the people living in South Sudan.
Yeah, I really I want to give a shout out to John Kelly, who's with the Wausau Early Birds Club, former member of our Wausau Noon Club, and he has led an effort to, as well as the Highland Community Church, to provide some leadership to South Sudan, which is a relatively new country that I think maybe a year and a half old. And as we are working, our club, Early Birds, to fund a project to build a well for clean water. And that is, we take that for granted, but it is in scarce supply. And this is an effort that will help people there.
And there is a Rotary Club in South Sudan. It's the Juba Club. I think many of our listeners don't realize the international impact of this organization, how there are active Rotary Clubs, not just in well-to-do areas and countries, but even in impoverished third world nations.
Yeah, absolutely. And they've taken a leadership role here and kind of coordinating role. So there's a lot of fighting, civil war, extreme poverty in that area.
And the civil war makes it difficult for people who have humanitarian goals, like the work in the South Sudan, to even do their work. Their lives are in danger.
Right, and that's one of the problems that we've been running into. This South Sudan project has been going on for about 2.5 years now, and part of that was the fundraising, but now the other part of it is finding a safe time for these folks to get in there and start the work. And the Juba Club has been keeping us informed as to if they're getting a contractor set up. And they're waiting basically for the dry season to hit and to see what happens, if they can get in there and get going on the project.
And during that dry season, these wells are shallow boreholes. They often dry up. They're subject to contamination from human and animal waste. And because Mike, my understanding is there's only one working well for the entire South Sudan right now.
That's what we've heard anecdotally, and it's a problem that we can help with.
And so the pumps break, and then you have fights breaking out around the well, and
a consistent electrical source. So the plan that's being that's developed would have a solar pump, would have solar. Solar power, and
you drill down to the deep aquifer.
Exactly. Yes. Right. So,
and also what's going to be included is training the people in that area, in that community where the well is being dug, to maintain it, work with it, and everything like that, to make it self-sustaining as well.
I'm Glenn Mobrig. This is Route 51. If you just joined us, we're talking about Rotary International and its impact on the communities in central Wisconsin, but also how these communities in central Wisconsin are helping people all over the world. If you're a Rotarian, we'd like to hear from you this morning. Our phone number is 1-800-780-9742. That's 1-800-780-9742. Tell us how Rotary has changed your life, or how it's given you something to do to work to help the lives of other people. Or you can put a comment on our Route 51 Facebook page, and I will read it live on the air. We've also got this Riverwalk project, the Arts Project, which is a local thing, Mike Beck, that the Rotary Club of Wausau is doing to mark its 100th anniversary.
Yeah, we're a lot about an obvious service to the community and starting something, launching something that you know, hey, in 100 years we can look back and say, wow, isn't this magnificent? So part of this is art, and we have a team of Rotarians who've worked with other constituencies, with the city and the arts community, to develop some plans around art along the Riverwalk. Again, the water theme, and so we have some coordination underway. There's actually a proposal being developed for a sculpture, a wooden sculpture. There's planning and coordination for a development of a mural down there that would showcase our logging heritage and connected to water. So there are several elements in the works. Kathleen Williams and other Rotarians are kind of spearheading this. And
Kathleen is the superintendent of the Wausau School District, and that again involves young people in the project.
Absolutely, we actually have worked with the Center for Visual Arts to develop stepping stones. They'll be doing this summer that will actually they'll go out to Bluegill Bay Park, showcasing in kids and education and water and arts all kind of put together, and we are very excited to kind of be a catalyst, a conduit for that, and we're very excited looking ahead and at these community initiatives.
And we're all also excited because, again, the announcement of this project, we've had a number of companies, organizations come forward and say, yeah, we want to work with you on this too. And like Mike said, we're the catalyst, but we're including the entire community at the same time, which is even more exciting.
Bill Duncanson, what's next for Bluegill Bay Pond?
The next steps are to have Rotary commit further, as they already have, to get into the fundraising so we will be able to determine how far and how fast we can go. Anticipated timeline for construction would probably be 2015. There's more testing and final design work to be done in, 2016 construction. But 2015, we'd be getting ready to go, complete all the fundraising, and be ready to go in the spring of 2016 on actual improvements.
And again, that study is going to be released on Monday. We're going to find out exactly what the options are, how much it'll cost, and where we can go from here.
Exactly.
All right, Mike and Bill, we're going to say goodbye to you. When we return, we'll be joined by Rick Jansing of the Rotary Club of Stevens Point and Brandon Bodendorfer of the Marshfield Noon Club. I'm Glenn Mobrig. This is Route 51 Regional Talk Radio. We're going to take a short break. Here's John Lennon.
Support for WPR comes from contributing members. Listener support makes up the single largest part of our budget, and it's why WPR is such a valuable source for high-quality news, talk, and entertainment programs. Thank you. Support also comes from Wausau's Woods and Art Museum, where 50 Greatest National Geographic Photographs features images and stories from the magazine's 120-year history, through February 22nd, lywam.org.
Just call on me, brother, when you need a hand. We all need somebody to lean on. I just might have a problem that you'll understand. We all need somebody to lean on. Lean on me.
As Bill Withers takes us into our second segment of Route 51 Regional Talk Radio, we are talking about an organization that a lot of people lean on, Rotary International. With 1.2 million members, more than 34,000 clubs around the United States and the world, and with clubs throughout central Wisconsin, in Stevens Point, in Marshfield, and in Wausau. Debbie Trader of the Rotary Club of Wausau is with us for another segment. The Wausau Club is celebrating its 100th anniversary this year. And joining us for this segment is Rick Jansing of the Rotary Club of Stevens Point and Brandon Bodendorfer of the Marshfield Noon Club. Thanks so much, Rick and Brandon, for joining the conversation with us. I know that your organizations are doing an awful lot to help folks in central Wisconsin, as are Rotary Clubs all over the world. Rick, why don't you talk about something. You're not only a member of the Rotary Club of Stevens Point, but you're the incoming district governor. Mm-hmm. Tell us what that means.
Wisconsin and Upper Michigan is the district. So we have the Upper Peninsula, and they've got probably about 30 clubs up there, or maybe 15. And then the rest of them are down in Wisconsin. We go down to probably Oshkosh. And it says, what are the intentions of Rotary, and how do you carry them through the clubs? Because it's a volunteer organization.
How is the Rotary International organized? I mean, it sounds like just really kind of a logistical nightmare trying to coordinate 34,000 clubs, 1.2 million members, countries all over the world, and not all of these countries see things the same way politically. They have different religions, different political systems, and some women aren't still treated the way they are in other parts of the world, and yet this organization somehow comes together.
And that's the beauty of Rotary. We do have the clubs worldwide, and it's diversified, not only in religion, but totally diversified. When I am going to be going to a session in San Diego, where it's an international session, and the incoming district governors from all over the world are going to be there. And obviously, we're not going to talk to everybody because we have a language barrier. However, we are going to learn from each other, the different cultures and everything else.
And Brandon, Marshfield isn't that far from Stevens Point or Wausau, but you're in a different district from what I understand.
That is correct.
How'd that happen?
Just alignment really is all it comes down to. I mean, everybody serves a different role in different districts, and you know, but we all still partner the same way and accomplish the same missions.
And Rotary is just one out of several service clubs, and because we're focusing on Rotary today, largely because of this anniversary, I think we should give due to the Kiwanis and to the Lions clubs and all of the other organizations that people can volunteer to join, because basically we're all in this together, helping the communities.
Well, you mentioned those, and the optimists as well. We've had some great conversations already. I personally have had some conversations with some of the optimist clubs, that you know, people that I know in those clubs, the Kiwanis. And when it comes to some of our projects, which we talked about in the last segment, the water projects, the public art, things like that, they're very interested as well as getting involved. And the funny thing is, if you talk to some Rotarians, you might find out that they're also members of those clubs as well.
Debbie, it's been a long 100 years since the Rotary Club of Wausau was founded. If we go back to 1914, founding members, attorney Arthur W. Prain, there were 26 charter members, including grocer A.H. Kickbush, the street railway operator Mark Ewing, Hans Hagee, representing Wausau's insurance industry, just a nascent insurance industry at that time, which would later develop into a monster, H. Heineman of the big downtown department store. The community has changed, but Rotary has changed too.
Oh, definitely. I don't quote me on the exact year, but it was in the late or early 80s is when we first allowed women in the club.
I joined the Elgin, Illinois club in 1983, and women were not allowed in Rotary at that time. I found the situation shocking. I almost didn't join, but I did join because I was told that there were efforts to change that. And that's one of the first things that I and a number of other, you know, members of Rotary clubs in the Chicago suburbs at the time worked on is changing it. And I can tell you that's changed Rotary, having women as members. Now, these were different times, right, back in the 80s. But I remember some of those early meetings. They were all men. There was a lot of cigar smoke and cigarette smoke in the buildings, and kind of a limited perspective on what it meant to be a member of a community. And Debbie, here you are. You're the president of Rotary in Wausau, and we've got a lot of women members.
Yeah. When I first joined the club 18 years ago, I was the fourth woman member of the club. And now I'm willing to bet over almost half of our members are women. And I am right now, I believe, the fifth woman president. And next year we will have another woman president. And it's, you know, a lot of work and a lot of fun. And but we're treated no differently than any of the guys. At least in all the years I've been in the club, I've never been treated any differently than the guys. And in fact, I think the women are very well respected in Rotary.
I think it's really broadened the perspective. And I think Rotary as an international organization, because of the way women have been welcomed into Rotary in the United States, it's changing the attitudes in some less developed countries overseas where women are still treated as second-class citizens.
Definitely.
Brandon, talk about women in the Rotary clubs in Marshfield.
They're some of our best members, actually. A lot of women spearhead a lot of different projects. And you know what it is with the differences? The difference is that women bring a different passion to the organization and what, you know, their values and their beliefs are. You know, men are more, for the most part, based on looking for things that are going to create an economic impact versus women are looking to see if they can create humanity impact and trying to do things more in the local level with the schools and the children. And that's one of the big reasons why one of our major projects, Rotary Winter Wonderland, is so successful is the number of women that participate and try to go across the lines to help get other organizations involved. We have two young gals that really help out with getting over 35 other area organizations involved with our project. So there's really a huge collaboration that takes place.
You've got you've had female presidents of the Marshfield organizations?
Yeah, we have had female presidents going back all the way into the 90s already.
And talk to a young lady, Roxy. She's with the Sunrise Club. Is she the president of that organization?
She is the current president, yes.
Okay, well, there you go. You mentioned Rotary Winter Wonderland, and that is certainly one of the most visible projects that Rotary is involved in central Wisconsin. Let's talk about that just a little bit. It's really an incredible thing. You put up more than 1 million lights in Wildwood Zoo every year. That's a phenomenal effort.
Yes, we just actually finished our ninth year. And as we're coming off the heels of finishing, we're actually just starting to get back in the process of starting, believe it or not. Most people think of Christmas ending as December. We think of it starting in February. But the project has been going on now for 9 years, and actually we're going on our 10th year. We have over 35 organizations that assist us through setup, takedown, and throughout the year putting the project together. Nearly 100 businesses in the area have contributed either time, energy, or resources to the project. So we've served over a million lights. And as just a statistic goes, we have over 10 miles in extension cords in the park, and it costs less and it costs less than $10 a night to run it. But the mission of it is really to drive awareness of hunger in our area. This past year, we were up over 30% in our food collections and able to stock over 22 area food pantries for the next 3 to 4 months. So it's a big accomplishment, and that's what us and all the different organizations and nearly 1,000 people that contribute their time are looking for this program.
The statistic I saw is that you've gathered more than 300,000 food items for those 22 pantries over the past 8 or 9 years.
That is correct.
There's no admission to Rotary Winter Wonderland? You bring a food donation?
There is no admission, but we encourage a free will donation of either cash or food.
Any idea how many thousands of people visit that each year?
You know, that is a really good question. You know, the thing is, when you look at the number of visitors versus unique visitors, You know, I would say on an average night we get anywhere from 500 to 1,500 people that visit the park, and even more on the weekends. But a lot of times what we see is we've over the last couple of years, people come back once, they come back twice, they come back three or four times, and there's no other event that I can think of that tries to bring awareness about the food driving programs that are out there that gets people to come back and donate to the cause multiple times.
And you're working with the Marshfield Sunrise Club on
Correct.
This project. You're a member of the Noon Club, but you're also working with Special Olympics, the Boys Club, school groups, the Honor Society.
Yeah, actually, if it wasn't for the Special Olympics in Marshfield, this program would not survive.
Why is that?
Well, every year starting, you think about how many lights. You have a million lights, over 10 miles in over 10 miles of extension cords, and I don't even know the number of miles of lights. But every year when these lights come down, they go in tolts. I mean, we're taking these down the next two weekends in January, and look at the frigid temperatures. People aren't organizing them and wrapping up like you would your Christmas tree in your house. They're throwing in boxes and bundles, and we really lean on this group to go through all over a semi-load of lights to resort them, repair them, fix them, to reduce our cost every year so that we can continue to give more and more back.
And you have kids in the community putting in 40 to 50 class hours on this volunteering.
Yeah. When we first started, one of the big attractions we thought was we got to bring music to the park. And how amazing would it be if we could animate the park to the music? Well, in our very first year of doing that, we were able to program three songs. And, you know, if you're volunteering at the park every night and you're hearing the same three songs over and over and over, you start to memorize them in your sleep. And we realized real quick that we needed to get people that were energetic about computer programming and people that had an interest in that and wanted to dedicate some time to a cause to get involved. So we reached out to the Marshfield High School, and their computer class science program every year now in their first semester programs over 50 songs for us, you know, Christmas classics.
And the light displays move to those songs? Is that how it works?
Yeah, we have every single light display is operated by a series of either an on and off switch. And we have over 300 switches that take place in the park. So they're programmed over 300 different on and off switches to operate all the different light displays.
Wow. Park is run by different volunteers every night. So you bring in the entire community. You've got a huge Christmas tree. People drive through it, you know, so that the elderly, folks who have disabilities, don't have to walk through the exhibit.
Yeah, that is true. When we looked at this project, we want to make sure that our community could be involved and the people of the area could definitely experience no matter what walk of life they came from. And we felt one of the biggest things that was most important was to bring a walking route as well as a drive-through route together so we can overcome the cold, but yet we can really get out and see what this display has to offer from a face-to-face person-to-person contact. And every year we've been able to expand our walking route due to contributions by different construction companies and stuff like that to build more sidewalk. But yeah, the project allows you to see it in two different avenues. And we didn't realize this, but we realize now that some people go through the drive-through and then they see, hey, I got to walk through it. So they come back around and they make a second trip.
And Rick Jansen, you're shaking your head.
We just went this year again and we did exactly that. We took people that had never been there and we drove through the first time, nice and slow. But then they agreed, go back, park, and let's walk. And I will tell you, the walk was even better than the drive-through. But both of them together, really a great enjoyment.
You have been in touch with Rotary clubs throughout the district. Most Rotary clubs are doing something to feed the hungry.
Most Rotary clubs are doing something to feed the hungry, or they will serve meals or the pantries. And that's one of the pillars, really, of the Wisconsin district, is getting the clubs to work with the local pantries, keep them stocked, and if they can, to go out and serve Christmas meals, Thanksgiving meals, and others throughout the year.
What is the Stevens Point Club doing?
Besides that, we have our centennial coming up in 2 years.
Okay, so we're going to. Maybe we can do the show again. Huh?
We can do the show again, but we're going to piggyback on all the successes that Wausau is going to have on that one. We're really focused on the youth too. We have Rotary exchange students, and that's been where we send somebody over for a semester, and the country sends somebody back to us for that semester, and they're housed with people in the Stevens Point community. And we also have Ryla, where we send students up to YMCA camp, in the Minocqua area, and they come back from there as one weekend, and they come back and say that's the best experience of their life. A lot of them go back the next year to be leader, junior leaders, and they just love it.
And Debbie Trader, the Wausau Club also involved in the Regional Hunger Plus Coalition. We touched on that briefly in the first segment.
Our club does a quarterly project each year within the club itself, where we do collections and pledges, and we also work with the Marathon County Hunger Coalition and the food pantries very closely to meet needs too. And we also work with the UW Extension. So not only are we helping to pay for food and materials, we're also helping with trainings for people to teach them how to cook healthy meals and how to work with leftovers and be healthy eating, as well as giving them the food.
So this year we had 300 turkeys, a semi-truck load of potatoes, and then the UW Extension folk taught some of these needy families how to cook the turkeys, how to make the fixings, and then they left
with all
the turkeys
fixings.
And the fixings and recipes.
Right. And one of the things we're looking forward to doing, and if whatever funding we have left over from this year and into next year, we're also going to be working with another Wisconsin company to help get crock pots to some of these families as well.
We're talking about the impact of Rotary International on central Wisconsin with members of the Rotary Club of Wausau and the Rotary Club of Stevens Point and the Marshfield Noon Club, one of two clubs in Marshfield. I'm Glenn Moberg. This is Route 51 Regional Talk Radio, 1-800-780-9742. If you'd like to join the conversation, 1-800-780-9742. Here's Skillet taking us into the next break.
Now I made my mind up. Today I'm going to try a little.
Contributors to Wisconsin Public Radio include Stevens Point Area Co-op, Peninsula Music Festival, and Import Auto Clinic. You too can help ensure the future of WPR with your business sponsorship. Find out more at wpr.org/sponsor. Support also comes from Wausau's River District, a classic American downtown with more than 70 locally owned businesses for shopping, dining, and lodging. Upstream from the ordinary. WausauRiverDistrict.com.
As we listen to B.B. King, we come into the final segment of our show on the impact of Rotary International on the communities of central Wisconsin. Debbie Trader of the Rotary Club of Wausau, which is celebrating its 100th anniversary this year. Rick Jansing of the Rotary Club of Stevens Point, and Brandon Bodendorfer of the Rotary Noon Club of Marshfield, one of two clubs in Marshfield. Rick, I really want to talk about something that you're involved in that is also piggybacking on a major goal of Rotary worldwide, which is to eliminate polio around the world. This is something the Polio Plus campaign started in 1985. You're taking it a step further now in Stevens Point.
We are. One of our members, matter of fact, our first female member who is still with the club, and she has been the past president. Her husband had polio. They were in the Appleton area.
That's Bob Williams?
Bob Williams. Yeah. And he was cured, in remission, and all of a sudden, later on, he was getting the pains in his muscles, and he went in and to Marshfield, and he was going through several checkups. And he has post-polio syndrome. And so they came to the club, and they said, can't we do something to get awareness out into the community about post-polio syndrome? So it started as a club project. We have now moved it up to a district project, and all the clubs are getting information on it.
We did a show with Bob Williams, who survived polio only to have this debilitating syndrome come back and affect him later in life. And also Jerry Apps, a Wisconsin farm historian and author who wrote a book about his struggles with polio. So this is an effort that's still ongoing. Rotary has been very successful in eradicating polio around the world, but there's still work to be done.
Yeah, we're down to three countries around the world. And hopefully by 2017, we will have it eradicated. And after that, all those people that have gotten polio as a youth, and some people might not even know they had polio, and it comes back and they did have it, and they said, oh, my God, I'm in later life now. What am I going to do? I have all these muscle problems, and there is no cure. There is no cure to post-polio syndrome.
Well, not yet.
We'll
see what happens.
Not yet.
Debbie, one thing we forgot to mention when we were going through all of the things the Rotary Club of Wausau does is the Rut and Run.
Definitely. We definitely need to talk about the Rut and Run. We have had this next year, I believe, will be our seventh or eighth. I think eighth.
And this is a foot race and a walk on Rib Mountain right when it's ripe with the beautiful fall colors. Yes. And it's, again, another fundraiser.
Yes. The RUT stands for Wausau Rotary Ultra Trek. And it's for everyone. It's a great time. We have a youth race that is they go just a little ways up the hill, and it's timed and everything like that. We have what we call Race the Base. It's a 5K that has just a little bit of trail running on it, but again, a 5K race. And then we have the Ultra Trek races, which are there's a 2-hour solo version and then a 4-hour team version, how many times you can make laps in those time frames. We get a lot of community support, and but it's a great fundraiser for the club, and we bring people in from basically all over state and surrounding states for people that want to do that challenge.
Brandon, anything that we didn't hit about what the Marshfield Club is doing, just pick out one thing that we should talk about.
Oh, boy. Put me on the spot there. You know, there's, you know, other than the Winter Wonderland Project, there's projects going on in each club all the time. I mean, obviously the things that sometimes we take for granted, like the highway cleanup and like the beautification projects and the projects that you see to give backpacks to school kids and different coats and stuff, and when winter season comes around. Those are some of the things we try to do locally, but there's something going on every month that we try to take our hand and share our time and energy into.
And Rick Jansing, same question. Name something else the Stevens Point Club is involved in.
The Stevens Point, we're really getting started in our centennial, and what we're going to do is have a part of the park. And our sisters, we have sister cities over in Europe, and we're going to focus on them and have something that lasting that the community can see.
And those, again, Rotary is an international organization. During the Second World War, Rotary clubs were disbanded in Spain, Austria, Italy, Czechoslovakia, the Balkans, Poland, Yugoslavia, Luxembourg, Hungary, and the Netherlands. But in 1990, a club was formed in Moscow. Clubs now exist in many of the former Soviet satellite countries, and I can't help but feel that with the reach of this international organization, that it's helping to change some of the geopolitical realities out there. Maybe it's helping bring peace to the world.
It definitely keeps conversation going. I think one thing Rotary's always done a really good job is we haven't taken a stand on policy, but we always try to keep the conversation rolling.
There was a comment made by a gentleman at a training I was at with Rotary that said, you know, if we had one youth Rotar sitting at a table with the with world powers and stuff like that, that would probably be the thing that brought peace.
All right, let's do the four-way test before we leave of the
things we think, say, or do.
Is it the truth? Is it fair to all concerned? Will it build goodwill and better friendships? And will it be beneficial to all concerned? Thanks so much for joining us today.
You just call on me, brother, when you need a hand. We all need somebody to lean on.
We want to thank today's guests, Rick Jansing of the Rotary Club of Stevens Point, Brandon Bodendorfer of the Marshfield Rotary Noon Club, Debbie Trader and Mike Beck of the Rotary Club of Wausau, and Wausau Marathon County Parks Director Bill Duncanson. I'm Glenn Moberg. Yes, I've been a member of this organization since 1983. Please extend your apologies to me, I guess, for the self-indulgence in doing this show. It's been something that I've wanted to do for a long time. We also want to thank our executive producer, Rick Ryer, our on-air producer, Crystal Waters. Thanks to John Altenberg for the Route 51 theme. Special music today by the Beatles, B.B. King, Skillet, and Bill Withers. Next week on Route 51, our guest is Wisconsin State Senator Jerry Petruski, who represents the 29th Senate District. Jerry Petruski will be talking about the new session of the state legislature, and he'll be taking your phone calls live on the air. Remember to follow us on Facebook. If you missed part of the show, you can hear it in its entirety Friday evening at 7 on WHRM 90.9 FM Wausau. The program can also be downloaded at WPR.org. Thanks for riding along with us today. Forward, as we say in Wisconsin, and until next week, we're heading out of town. Yeah.